The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Jesus said to his disciples, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to be with you always, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot accept because it neither sees nor knows him. But you know him, because he remains with you and will be in you. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. In a little while, the world will no longer see me, but you will see me, because I live and you will live. On that day, you will realize that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I in you. Whoever has my commandments and observes them is the one who loves me. And whoever loves me will be loved by my Father. And I will love him and reveal myself to him." The Gospel of the Lord.
During this Easter season, many of our readings have come from the Acts of the Apostles. We reflect on what God did to this ordinary group of men, turning them from simple fishermen, or tax collectors, zealots, to people filled with the good news, and who are willing to devote everything, their whole lives, to the spread of the gospel. We see that freedom that they had, you know, fearlessness, boldness, courage, love, faithfulness. And of course, this reading is for us right now, because we now take upon the responsibility of the apostles. We're the new apostles. And we know this is a challenging mission, because we all look at ourselves and we see our own limitations in this. But this is where we have to recognize that the spread of the gospel is the work of God. And it's the work of God in us. So while we all find our own challenges to spread the gospel, we know that with God, it is possible. I know of a family, mom and dad, they had 7 children. And mom and dad had a great desire to pass the faith on to their own children as well as to others. So, but you know, first as the family grew, they started with their own children. They knew that it was their responsibility as mom and dad to speak about the faith, teach the children about how to pray. So, of course, they would gather as a family around mealtime. That was a sacred time. And they would teach the children how to pray before meals, or at night before they went to bed, they would say their prayers together. And even in the morning when they would get up, they would thank God for the day and ask God for the graces that they would need to fulfill that day well. So this is their normal practice. And as you know, as time goes on, it becomes a habit. It becomes something the family does. And even the children kind of remind mom or dad when things get crazy, it's time to pray. They also adopted, as the children grew older, the practice of praying the rosary every day in the family. You know, and each of the kids would take a decade if they were old enough, and they would lead the rest of the family through the rosary. So this was, it's a beautiful family. Now, as time went on, the mom and dad, they knew that they were supposed to spread the good news even beyond their own family. So they had the idea, it's a very good idea, that's why I'm sharing it, they would have a meal, and they would invite neighbors over for the meal, and friends, acquaintances, even own family members. And oftentimes they would pick people that were away from the faith, that sometimes even had an animosity towards the Catholic faith. But they would welcome them in, befriend them. Usually they would invite a few strong Catholics, sometimes priests. I got invited a few times myself. And we would just be just a family. The kids, some of them would be crying. There'd be changing of diapers, kids with runny noses, getting into things, falling down, coming up and tugging on mom or dad's, sleeve for help. But you'd think it might turn the visitors off, but it didn't. They saw what was happening. They saw the love there. They saw the care there. And it really opened them up to further conversation about the faith. We'd talk about the faith around the table as we would eat. It's beautiful. I got a letter from this mother who was rejoicing because she was sharing how a few of the family members who had come to these dinners were now rethinking the faith and coming back and starting to practice it. And even others who were really against the faith, how they were softening. And we think of that first reading where Philip, he was sent to Samaria by the Holy Spirit. If you remember, the Samaritans and Jews did not mix. They looked upon each other as enemies. And so it's the very action of the Holy Spirit moves us to break down the barriers that exist between people. So what a beautiful example this family gave. Now, the woman who wrote the letter, she also shared, though, that there were some in the family who were really against the faith, that actually had been caught up into, you might even call it a sect of Christianity, that looked at the Catholic Church as something evil, as something that had fallen into apostasy, that had forsaken the faith and was teaching people the wrong thing about Jesus and salvation. And she said, "Father, have you ever heard the analogy of the phone game that often is played in parties? You know that analogy where the phone game is this: somebody calls up, and the person that answers the phone, they're given a message, and then they have to transmit that message to the next person who transmits it to the next person, and so on. And as you can imagine, if the person hearing the phone message just once begins to transmit it, they're probably not going to get it right, and so on, all the way down. And that's what's so funny about it, because at the very end of the line, the message is so distorted, it's ridiculous. And that's part of the fun of it. But amazingly, some people actually think that's how the faith was transmitted down through the ages, that it was something like the phone game. And of course, I assured the mother that, no, this is nothing. That analogy is a horrible analogy in terms of how the faith has been passed on to us. First of all, let's just think about that. Do each of us just hear the good news once? No way, right? No way. We hear the good news day in and day out. So did the apostles, day in and day out. They lived with Jesus for 3 years. And they also had the Holy Spirit. Did Jesus say to them, "Folks, I'm going to my Father now, your Father and mine, my God and your God, and sorry, you're on your own from now. I'm going far away, and I will leave you orphan. And I'm going to leave you to be guided by very fallible, weak, and sinful leaders. Good luck." Did Jesus say that? No. No, he said the absolute opposite of that. I am going to my Father, my God and your God, and I will not leave you orphan. The advocate, I am going to ask the advocate to come. The advocate will be with you always. Always. Not just sometimes, not just when we're good, not just on occasion, but always, always. God is faithful to his people. And Jesus went on to say, not only that, I will be in you. I will be in you. You know, so brothers and sisters, this analogy is so false. And yet you'll find it, you'll actually find it in very published books on the scripture. I know of one theologian who is actually, strangely, is an agnostic theologian, but he's very popular. He gets on the New York Times best-selling list. His name's Bart Ehrman. He uses this analogy a lot in terms of describing how the faith was passed on in the church. So this idea is out there. If we run into it, now we can answer it. I was thinking about the Holy Spirit, and I asked our confirmation students, because they think about the gifts of the Holy Spirit, how that Holy Spirit comes to them. And I asked them, well, what are the gifts of the Holy Spirit? And, you know, I was expecting an answer like courage, fortitude, piety, understanding, counsel, fear of the Lord, all the various seven gifts of the Spirit that we talk about in confirmation. But one girl raised her hand. She was very enthusiastic. She raised her hand and she said, Father, Jesus is the gift of the Holy Spirit. And I was taken back by that answer. I loved it. And I asked her, well, why do you say that? And she said, Father, because we say in the creed, he was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. That's right. The Holy Spirit comes to remind us of all that Jesus did and said, and he's with us always. And he forms Jesus in us, so that Jesus literally is in us and we are in him and he is in the Father. We are literally united to God himself. We carry God in our very beings. Our second graders, they just received First Holy Communion and they were going around saying, I'm a tabernacle of the living God. That's right. They recognize that Jesus was living in them. In this Eucharist, when we bring up the gifts of bread and wine, those are symbols of you and me right now, but you'll notice the priest, he lifts his hands up and he invokes the Holy Spirit to come down upon the gifts. And those gifts of bread and wine are no longer just symbols of you and me. Now they become really and truly the substantial presence of Jesus Christ, his precious body and blood that we all share in. And Jesus in love gives himself to us, unites himself to us and we to him in this Eucharist. We are one with the Lord. And while we can still feel our own inadequacies about sharing the faith, it is by the power of God that it happens. So don't be afraid. Take a step. Get out of the, sometimes we have a comfortable zone. We have to go beyond the comfortable zone sometimes and engage conversations that we know we're going to be uncomfortable. And yet, in that second reading, it says, don't be afraid to share the hope that's in your heart. Don't be afraid to and be willing to suffer for the sake of the gospel. That's the only way it's going to spread, brothers and sisters. There's a famine in our world for God, a great hunger in hearts. I don't think people even know what they're hungry for. That's why we have to present the love of the Lord to them. Let them see and feel it. Know they're loved. I'm going to invite everybody. We're getting close to Pentecost. And I'd like to encourage everybody to pray a novena to the Holy Spirit that you can find in your pews. And on Pentecost Day, this is kind of a parish challenge, I'd invite everyone here to take a prayer walk that day. Go out for a short prayer walk with your family. Maybe bring that brochure, the prayers to the Holy Spirit, and pray it as a family. But just walk together as a family around your neighborhood or a park. And just pray. Pray a rosary. I love going on rosary walks. And see what happens. Certainly, just the very fact that you're praying, something good will happen. Every time we utter a prayer, it opens a window to heaven that allows God's Holy Spirit to come and bless the world. Let's be that blessing, brothers and sisters. God bless you.